Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I somebody's praying for me. Angels are watching, I can feel it. Angels are watching over me. They're many miles ahead till I get home, yet I'm carried safe before your throne. Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe, angels are watching over me. Well, I've walked a barren wilderness where my pillow was a stone, and I've been through the darkest cavern where no light had ever shone. Still I walked on, 'cause there was someone down on their knees. And Lord, I thank you for those people praying all this time for me. Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for me.
Thanks.
You know, these last 2 weeks we've been speaking of a real kind of a strange, well, not strange, it's real, but a strange subject, and that is of a group of supernatural beings headed by a fallen angel by the name of Satan, and we would refer to the rest of the fallen angels as demons. We've been through that the last 2 weeks. You guys will see all of that. If you want to go on the website, you can listen to those as we went over in the last couple of weeks. But today, I want to look at something else. I want us to look at angels, the ones that didn't fall, and what their work is in our world and for us. You know, they're referred to like 300 times in the Bible. But the cool thing about angels is that it's never about them. They're just referred to in what they were doing. We don't have any big, long description of angels except when they are seen in the presence of God by Ezekiel, by Isaiah, and of course by John when he wrote the book of Revelation, the idea of these angelic beings around the throne of God. But the rest are not really, we don't have a whole lot of information. They're just mentioned because they're there and they're just doing their work. But if we look at how they're described and looked at in the Bible, it is just so interesting to me, and I think it'll be really encouraging to each of us here. Now, they're created beings. Let me read to you, first of all, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. And before we read the scriptures, why don't we pray together? Let's ask the Lord's blessing on this, shall we? Lord, would you help us all? How we need your direction and your help in our lives, how we need to know your truth and how things work, and these incredible beings that are actually working on the behalf of your children. That should be a great comfort to all of us. So we ask for your blessing, that you'll open our minds and our hearts to the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Okay. So Colossians chapter 1. Let me read this to you. Colossians 1 verse 16 says this. In fact, speaking of Jesus in verse 15, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The idea, not that he didn't exist till he was born. The idea is he is the head person of the family. In other words, that oversees all of God's creation. For by him, all things were created. Things, get this, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. To me, just a beautiful, beautiful statement. Then I'm going to flip back to the Psalms. And I want to read to you Psalm 148, verses 1 through 5. Listen to this. It's the description of the moment they were created. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and your waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in their place. So the angels are, they're created beings. That we were all created. They're innumerable. The Bible talks about a picture of like millions upon millions of them. And the cool thing about them is that they were created all at once, different from humans. Angels were created all at once. They're called a company or the host of the Lord. They were created all at once. Humans aren't. Isn't it interesting that humans, all known by God before the creation of the world, yet we are not created until the moment our parents meet and have this beautiful expression of love that creates a child. And God knows all about that. We come about through procreation, right? But the cool thing about angels is they were all created all at once. And, you know, so many of us, when you think of angels, you think of something feminine, right? Always real pretty. You know, wings, shiny, all of that. Well, they can also be incredibly powerful beings. You know, my brother's a pastor in Europe. I told you this, right? Reformed Church of Switzerland. It took me a while to get over it, but he and the other guys that I respect so much over there, they wear these dresses on Sunday morning. They call them robes, okay? I just can't get into it. And the thing about the guys and girls in the Reformed Church, they wear these ministerial robes, but the really worst thing about them is they have this big white bow that they tie around their neck and it kind of hangs there. I say to him, did it get hot in the dress today? It was kind of warm there today, wasn't it? Wasn't it kind of warm in the dress? Brothers do that. Call each other girly man and all that kind of stuff. We just do that. It's just something that boys do. But I got past that when I heard some of those incredible men and women speak in that church. And their incredible ability and the wonderful people that they are. Look, just because something appears to be gentle doesn't mean it's not strong. And angels are all of those things. They are amazing. I think of the story of Balaam the prophet gonna go prophesy against Israel for the money, because a world leader had said, hey, if you'll prophesy against these guys to destroy them, I'll fill your house up with money. And so he's on his way to do the prophesying against Israel. And the beautiful story in the Bible is that there is an angel with his sword drawn, a flaming creature, in the path that Balaam's trying to take, riding his donkey to the location. And Balaam doesn't see it, but the donkey does. So the donkey turns out into a field and he's beating the donkey, saying, get back on the road, what are you doing? So finally, in his rage, the donkey speaks. Haven't I been faithful to you for all these years? Why are you beating me? And Balaam is so upset, he doesn't realize that the donkey is talking to him. Okay, I mean, it's just such a great story. And so it took a little while for Balaam to get it, that there was someone waiting to destroy him if he went. Yeah, pretty cool, pretty powerful. And if you also think of, for instance, the angel of death that took the firstborn among the Egyptians when they would not let the children of Israel go. We're talking powerful, incredible beings. But we can learn so much and be comforted by what they have done. Let me give you just a few things. Angels protect. Now, we can't see them, right? We don't see them. But according to the promises of God and the depiction in Scripture, these beings exist, and they exist for the protection of God's people. Elisha, the prophet, had been telling the commanders of Israel where the enemy armies were going to be posting themselves to try to attack them. And so the enemy army was being defeated time and time again until finally the king of that opposing army said to his cabinet, okay, who of you are leaking? Who's leaking this information to CNN? Who's letting it happen? Anyhow. And one of them says, it's not us. There's this prophet that knows this stuff. He's telling the king of Israel what to do. So this commander has his army go, and they surround this tent that Elisha lives in with a servant, okay? Someone who helps him, cooks for him, stuff like that. And in the morning, the servant gets up in the 2 Kings chapter 6. He gets up, he goes outside, start the fire, get it up, get some food going. And the army of Syria is all the way around him. And he freaks out, which is normal. He goes in the tent and says, we're in deep trouble. And the prophet says to his servant, those who be with us are more than those who be with them. And then he says, hey, Lord, open his eyes. And all of a sudden, the servant could see behind the armies of Israel, in all of the mountain range around them, flaming armies of the heavenly hosts. They're not seen very often, but they are the protectors of God's people. There is this great promise that was actually used to try to tempt Jesus in Psalm 91. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. When Satan was trying to tempt Jesus to do the wrong things, he quotes this promise of angelic protection and then tries to get Jesus to force God's hand by jumping off the highest pinnacle of the temple. Do you remember that? And Jesus said, look, you're not supposed to tempt the Lord. But he went to this real promise in Scripture that is absolutely true of God's people. It goes like this. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Incredible protection. Beautiful stuff. And if you go to Matthew chapter 18, there is this statement that Jesus makes. He says, don't look down on the humble who believe in me, because their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. That is such a significant statement from Jesus. Do you notice what he said? He says, their angels. Do you know there are angels commissioned to you? I know, we don't feel worth it. We don't think that our lives are that important, but according to God, there is no small people. There are no small places. All of us live in a very significant place in this world because he put us here where we are. And you have angels. Their angels do always behold the Father's face. I hope you understand the protection. Whatever comes into your life that's difficult, you have to know that it had to come through the hand of the living God who holds you, and through the garrison that protects you. So for some reason it's happening, God will use it for his glory if that happens. But nothing is going to harm you, which is just, to me, amazing. I heard this most interesting story, and everybody writes books about seeing angels and experiencing heaven. Some of them, I believe, are true. Some of them are made up. Some have been proven to be made up. You just don't buy everything that comes along. But I heard the story of a woman who was living in Africa. I think of my friend Ruth, who works among the Muslim people in Africa. That's a dangerous place to be, guys. Not just working as a Christian woman, trying to help the health cares of Muslim people that they might find Christ. That's a dangerous place to be. But this woman was also in the medical field, trying to help those in the midst of a terrible time on the African continent. And what happened was is that the tribal rulers stirred up their people to attack and to murder these white intruders. And this girl locked herself in a closet knowing she was going to die. And all the commotion was going on. All of a sudden, it all stopped, and it became dead quiet. After a couple of hours, she opened, and nothing had been disturbed, and no one had been harmed. It was about 2 years later when a young African had come to Christ. He had heard about the good news about Jesus dying for our sins and to be raised from the dead, and put his trust in him. And he had to confess to her that he had been in the marauding party that came there that night that chased her to the closet and caused her to lock the door. He said, "We came there for two reasons, to burn down the compound and to kill all the white people. But when we got there, we didn't realize you had armed guards." She said, "What do you mean, armed guards?" He said, "They were very tall warriors in white with these long, gleaming swords, and they ran." You hear stories like that. I only heard, when I hear them firsthand of someone who's credible, I mean, it's interesting that the angels of God are there to protect his people. You can bank on that. Not only do they protect, but they provide. They've been involved in taking care of God's people. In fact, the writer of Hebrews said, "Are they, angels, not all ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" We see that happening throughout the Bible. Elijah being out in the wilderness and an angel serving him and feeding him in the midst of his great depression in 1 Kings chapter 19. Jesus, after his great temptation facing Satan, Satan left him, it says, and the angels came and ministered to him. That means they gave him things to eat after his fasting and all of that. Really very interesting. I knew a woman some years ago, probably 30, 35 years ago now, who was in terrible trouble. I remember the number. She needed $800. 35 years ago, I mean, it's a lot of money now, but it was a ton of money back then. She didn't know what to do. And one day she showed up at the office, crying, laughing, beaming, and freaked out all at the same time. She said she's asking the Lord. She didn't know who else to ask. Her husband was gone. She had no family who would help her. She was in terrible straits trying to raise three children. And something happened. There's a knock at her door. She opens the door and there's a young man who doesn't say anything. He just hands her an envelope. Doesn't say a word. Hands her an envelope. She looks down into the envelope, opens it up, and it's full of $100 bills. And she looks up and he's gone. Angels or a fast-running boy? I don't know. But it's interesting. They provide. You know, we all long to be known, don't we? And when you realize that you are known by those unseen creatures that are assigned to care for you, you realize the incredible care and love of God for his people. You know, Facebook is just all of our expression of wanting to be known. We call it fake book, right? Oh, my perfect little, here's my perfect little life and my perfect little family. We know about half of that's true. I want to see you when you wake up in the morning. You know, I want to talk to your wife and get the real story. You know, everybody desires to be known. And when we were little, we wanted mommy to kiss it when it hurt, right? And now we want to be known, right? That's just kind of an important part of our lives. Paul said, on that day when we see Jesus, like Doris sang about, we will know as we have been known. You know, the Lord loves you, and he's commanded those in the invisible world to care for you and help you. He protects. He provides. One other thing, angels proclaim, of course, throughout the Bible. You'll see angels appearing at certain moments in history to say something, you know, that you need to know this, and they will be a messenger. In fact, that's what the word angel means, messenger. When God was going to send out the good news of Jesus beyond the Jewish world and into the non-Jewish world, he appeared to a man named Cornelius, a Roman commander, a soldier, and said to him, "Listen, you're trying to talk to the Lord, but I want you to know there's a man named Peter that's going to tell you the whole story. He's in Joppa. He's at the house of Simon the Tanner. Go call for him." So, I mean, they proclaim things like that. Well, he did, and Peter came and told them the gospel, and it was incredible. They proclaim, and they also carry out God's judgment. You'll see, of course, we talked about the angel of death that carried out a judgment of God against the Egyptians. We see in the book of Revelation the angels of God gathering humans on that last great day from all over the earth and from every realm and bringing them to the great judgment. They have an amazing ministry to all of us. Now, I've said all that to say this to you. I want you to notice something about angels. Angels are spoken of because they're there. They are never described. They are never the subject. They're never explained or emphasized in any biblical story. They're just mentioned that they are there and doing these certain things. You want to know why? Because it's never about angels. It's always about Jesus. Do you get that? It's never about that. There are some angels that want to be known, and those are the dark angels, those fallen angels that are God's enemies in the spirit world. Those are the ones that want to be known. In this world, there is this vacuum that's been created because we are just a purely materialistic world. In the general worldview now, there is no spirit world. And so, because of materialism, the pendulum has swung one direction, but now it's swung back the other way, and the kids especially are so longing for reality. If you go to the teen reading section in a bookstore, it's all about supernatural stuff. That's because there's a deep hunger and that stuff sells, okay? The problem is there are angels. There are those in the other realm that want to be known, that can be contacted, and it's real, and they are destructive. And they're there to lie and to destroy us. But the real angels don't do that. You notice in Colossians, Paul writes to this group of people to say to them, look, somebody's in there teaching about the worship of angels. We don't worship angels. If you look at the book of Revelation, John at two times during this great revelation of what's going to be happening, he's seeing the future and there's an angel beside him that's walking him through it, explaining it to him as he goes. Two different times, John totally loses it, falls at his feet to worship the angel. And in both cases, the angel says, don't do that. I'm just a servant like you. I'm one of the brothers. Get away from me. Don't do that. Worship God. John falls down twice to do that. And John was really quite a guy. But he was so overwhelmed by the moment. We're told to not do that. So, psychics that are going to give you information are connected to the demons that want to be known. They can imitate your dead grandmother. Anybody else you want to contact, they will love to deceive you. The angels of God, his holy angels, will never do that. You'll see one time, for instance, where Michael identifies himself as, I am Michael. I stand in the presence of God, when someone didn't believe his message. He said, listen, this is who I am. And he was gone, okay, just to verify what he was saying. But the dark angels are the ones that want to be known and seen, and they will grab a hold of your life. Stay away from that. We have the truth of God. If you want to trust God, life is a whole lot easier than trying to find information those other ways. These angels are yours. I was with my dad the other day at the rest home in the locked ward where he lives as an Alzheimer's patient. My friend Harold lives there. He's usually my dad's partner in crime during dinner. They have dinner together at night, and Harold is Melissa's dad, is their sweet guy. And we talk, and there was a new lady there. Her name is Charlotte, and she's asking questions. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's going on? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's going on? She just continued to ask that, sitting at the dinner table. I'm sitting at the end of the table between her and my dad. And I said, honey, what's your name? Charlotte. I said, like Charlotte's Web? Yes, she said. She had a memory. Yes. I said, you mean like Charlotte O'Hare? Yes, yes. But I don't put things off till tomorrow, she said to me. I said, Charlotte. She kept saying, what's wrong? What's wrong? I said, Charlotte, you've lost your memory. You can't remember anything. But do you have children? Yes, yes, I have five daughters. Five daughters. I said, they love you, don't they? Yes, they love me. I said, they have put you here for protection. You are in a beautiful facility with people around you who care about you, and they're just about to serve us all dinner. Isn't that good? Yes, that's very good, she said. I said, so you don't have any memory or any knowledge of what's going on, but I want you to know you're cared for. It's all right. This world seems dark to us too. And we only see half of reality. We only see half. And when you only see half of reality, we're always afraid of what's going on in that other half. What's going to happen? What does the future hold? Well, I don't know. But I know one thing. You have a God that loves you more than you could ever know, loving you so much that he sent his own son to die on a cross, to take our sin and shame. and then to be resurrected from the dead, and then promising to never leave you or forsake you, and along with that, to put your angels around you. That's a pretty great thing, I think. Someday, as the writer of Hebrews wrote, that we should always be kind to strangers. Always be kind to strangers, because some have entertained angels and didn't even know it. Listen, someday in your future, when this world is a memory, and we're at home with the Lord, you're going to meet some creature, someone you recognize, and he'll say, I was the guy that changed your tire. I was the nurse that came in with you and got down on my knees and prayed for you when you're in the hospital. I was the counselor that sat down with you on that dark night when you didn't know where else to turn. I mean, that will be such a day of revealing for all of us. All I know is you are in God's hands if you've trusted in Christ. Now, the key is whether or not you've trusted him. Only you can answer that question. He died for you. He's done everything he can. And now he calls you to himself. And the hard thing is, you've heard this now. You can't unhear it. There's a decision to be made by all those who hear the good news about Jesus, is that we have to choose whether or not we're going to believe this. All I know is we've all looked into it for a lot of years. For 45 years, I've studied the Bible intensely. I found it to be absolutely true. He is who he said he was. You can trust him. You think about that. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on, stand up. Lord, thank you for your word and for the truth that angels are watching over us. Thank you. We cling to you, and thank you for unbelievable care. Bless everybody's week, Lord. May we step into this next work week trusting you. Help us, Lord. Invade all of our world. May we not divide up our church life with our work life. Lord, may we just be the same person, child of God, in all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.